Today, this week, we're going to finish off this whole area of fornication for the first 20 minutes or so. We'll go through, firstly, how do we guard our hearts against this area that is destroying many, 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 many lives, okay, all over the world, okay? But as Christians, God wants us to be particularly clear of some of the principles. God did tell specifically in some areas, especially in the Levitical law, what to do, how to avoid the sin. But then in the New Testament, there are direct inferences, like for example, flee fornication, etc. Okay, but we want to look at it comprehensively so that we can guard our heart. For those who are not involved in it, stay away from it. And these are the things you need to do. For those who are people whom you know may be involved in it, that you can actually give them some counsel. Then the second half, we want to actually look at, as a church, what are the principles you want to hold on to. And then according to Acts 15, we will actually make a definitive statement about what we will stand for. And so hopefully we will have a comprehensive idea where the Lord wants us to go. All right? Okay, let's have a word of prayer first before we start. Let's commit this whole hour to the Lord. Father, once again, I thank you for everyone who has come. I pray, Father, it will be a time of learning. Not so much my words, but your word, Lord. If the word of God is clearly spoken, I pray, Father, we will humble our hearts and, Lord, to receive what you have for us. That, God, it is thy word that we love and it's thy word that we want to cherish. Father, in this hour, we ask you to open our eyes to the many principles that we need to take note of. And, Father, then as a church, definitively, Lord, what we need to do in order, Lord, to protect the purity of the church. And also, Lord, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the Sunday school right now. I pray that every single one of them will be ready to receive your word. The Sunday school teachers will be prepared to teach your word. And that, Father, every child will grow up with a knowledge of God. That, Father, we will work collectively, Lord, to avoid the snare of the devil, but also to make everyone progress, Lord, in the direction you will have us to progress. Father, we thank you. We praise you for who you are, for the rain that came down. Yeah, a bit of inconveniences here and there. But we do know, Lord, that it is you who has provided us with all these things. And Father, apart from the warm weather, you give us the rain as well so that we can be cool. And Father, I pray that our hearts will be warm, Father, for your word today. That everyone, Father, will be willing to accept the teaching of your word through the impression of the Holy Spirit. May our hearts be surrendered to you. May our hearts be given to understand, Lord, what your will is in this matter. As a church and individually, we pray that you have a preeminence over this session and that, Father, there will be interaction and we'll all learn together by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll just go straight into what do we do to guard our heart. Okay, we won't go through a lot of the other things we've gone through, but perhaps towards the end, we'll be a bit more definitive. What do we do to guard our heart? And what do we do to train our children, okay, and even the youth and all that, to guard our heart with regards to this whole area of immorality, okay? We want to make this very clear. This area of fornication, no one is exempt from it. No one. Okay? No one is exempt from this sin. All the way from Noah, okay, to David, and of course, thankfully, the New Testament Christians, the apostles, were clear and they were set apart unto God. Okay, but the culture in which they lived was full of this kind of sin that the apostles had to teach very clearly, some clear principles, what they must do, what they mustn't do, and how they are to stay away from it. Okay, the strongest way to prevent this sin in our life is to starve it. Let's turn to Colossians 3 further. Just start off with this, and I'll give you some principles that you might write down. If you have the notes from, I know we've gone through a few weeks, but you do have the notes, you can actually jot it now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Let's read that. Colossians 3, verse 5 is a key verse for anyone who, after we talk about, involved in it, but generally, we need to actually starve this sin, okay? If it's evident. Now let's read that. Ready? 1, 2, go. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay? If you read this particular verse, the word mortify means to put to death. Okay, fleshly desires are to be starved to death. And when you talk about starving to death, we want to give the illustration of someone who is, perhaps someone who is overweight or whatever. In order to lose that weight, they actually have to, well, don't eat so much. All right? But one thing you will find that if you don't eat so much but you don't exercise as well, do the right thing, you actually become sick. How many of you heard of Karen Carpenter? Karen Carpenter, some of you, she sings a lot of ballads and songs and things. She was a victim of what I call anorexia nervosa that actually killed her. Okay, she was so she always had this impression that she was always fat, so she refused to eat. And what your body does is actually it starts to take from your other vital organs. Okay, to the point that Karen Carpenter died of literally starvation. Okay, that's starvation. Applying to a spiritual sense, starvation of the flesh is an essential thing, because by nature we always want things of the flesh. That's a natural tendency. Okay? Here the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. But the first thing that Paul talks about is fornication, immorality. In fact, the second one is uncleanness. Third one's inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. In fact, all this actually has to do with physical immorality. Okay? And so we need to start there. Some principles, how we guard our heart. Number one, we need to be saved. Okay? We take a few verses. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Firstly, we need to be saved. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? If you do not have the Spirit of God within you, you will not be able to resist the temptation of the flesh. Okay? Compare Mrs. Potiphar and Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar was giving in. You all know the story, right? Mrs. Potiphar was giving in to the flesh. And even though, of course, her husband wasn't around, always busy with the big projects, Mrs. Potiphar was all alone at home with this handsome steward of the house. When there's no one around, he wanted to have a good time with him. Okay, one without the Spirit of God, Mrs. Potiphar, and one with the Spirit of God, Joseph. Okay? And so, number one, in order to resist this area of sin, we need to be saved. You know, there are some Christians who think they are saved, but they keep on continuing that sin. We need to be saved, number one. Okay? Number two, we need to be saved means we need actually the Spirit of God to deal with the flesh, to control this area. Okay, number one, we need to be saved. Number two, we need to be in the Word. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 133. Okay, everyone to turn to this. This is very important. Psalm 119, verse 133. Memorize it. Psalm 119, verse 133. Firstly, we need to be saved. We need to have a Christian heart. The Spirit of God needs to control us. Number two, we need to be in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 133. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 133. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Okay? A few principles from here. Number one, there is a desire of the psalmist for God's word to control him, because he asked God, order my steps. Take charge of my steps. Order my steps. How? In thy word. And then let not any sin have control over me. We need to be in the Word. Christians who are not in the Word will fall. When we talk about being in the Word, it doesn't mean to just read. You know. We want to move past that already. It's to meditate upon, to be assured of it, and to also live it out daily in our lives. In other words, you actually have a shield of faith inside of your heart, that when the temptation comes, just like Joseph, what was Joseph's shield of faith? Can you remember what he said when Mrs. Potiphar wanted him to sin? What did Joseph say in Genesis 39? What did Joseph say? How can I do this? Wickedness, there's a fear of God, and sin against God. How can I do this? Joseph was very clear in his mind. I'm just a manager of your house. Your husband has given me everything. I can touch everything except you. So he was rational in his thinking, but also he was spiritual in his approach. He said, how then can I sin? His main motivation, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. He already said, no, I cannot do this. And sin against God. And then what did he do? He's out of there. Okay, he ran out of there. Okay, the fear of God only comes when you know God. And vice versa. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When our heart doesn't have the fear of God, we will not run away from sin. Did you know that? When you have no consciousness of the fact that what you do, God is there, you will not run away from sin. But when you do, just like Joseph, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? But Mrs. Potiphar may be thinking, it's just you and me, what? Said, no, there's someone else here. And that's the God I serve, the God of my fathers. I cannot do this. And he... Interesting, the law wasn't given yet. The law didn't say thou shalt. The law wasn't given yet because the law was only given 400 years later, Exodus 20. But yet, in Joseph's heart, he's already known that he's sinned. Okay? So that's why there's a consciousness of who God is and the word of God in their lives. Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Okay, young people, I know you're very busy with all kinds of things, but I pray that you will never be too busy to spend some time with God. Okay, that's number two. Number three, then to Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 21. Genesis chapter 2. The first one is to be saved, second one being the word. The third one is focus on the Lord's will for your current situation. That's to fix your mind on what God wants you to do in the current situation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible says, and the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Okay, for guys, God knows your needs. God knows your needs. And I would say, ladies, also God knows your needs, what you need, okay? So God says, I will make a helpmeet for him. But, in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. When God says, I'm going to make a helpmeet for Adam, he actually formed the beast and asked Adam to take care of them. And so apparently one of the indications from here is as Adam was taking care of the animals, he realized for every male, for every Mr. Elephant, there's a Mrs. Elephant. All right, for every Mr. Leopard, there's a Mrs. Leopard. And he realized that there's actually two. Okay, there's only two of them. It's interesting there because what was God's will for Adam at this point, verse 19 and 20? What was God's will for him? Was it to find a helpmeet? Oh. Adam, you go and name the animals. That's your job. That's your job. That's your job. What's the lesson there? Focus on the current situation that God has for you. If you're a student, study. This is God's will for you. Do the best that you can there. Nothing else. You know why? Because if you study and do something else, you have a split mind. You're not able to give your best to God in the thing that God has told you to do. And that's very, very important. And so there's, parents, as you teach your children, as you grow up, teach them to focus. In order to teach children to focus, parents, we need to be focused. Amen? If we're always jumping from left to right everywhere, bouncing off the walls, our children will also be jumping left to right, bouncing off the walls. We need to be focused, doing our best in the situation. Okay, any questions? Feel free to. Any thoughts on that? Focus on the current situation that is God's will for you. Okay? Point number four is build healthy relationships with family. Communicate often with them. Consult often with your parents, sharing openly, honestly, and without hiding. Okay? And parents, when our children share with us, deal with them tenderly, gently, and don't chase them off with our comments and judgment on what they think. Sometimes children just want to share what they think. But if they find that it's not received well, what's going to happen is that they will find that I need another outlet. Build a healthy relationship. Very, very important, especially when it comes to this kind of thing, because it's very private to them. And they don't know how people will think of them. They don't want their parents to think they are perverts. But it's just something that God has naturally done in them. But you know, as parents, we would do well to be gentle but firm, but always to counsel them with biblical principles. Okay? Any questions, any thoughts from anyone? And I think we all realize the importance of this, right? Communicate. Okay? So the next one is, in Matthew 6:33, I think we all know, be actively serving the Lord, aiming to glorify Him first. Because the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. When we actually seek our needs first and then put God's priorities at second, you'll find that things will always go topsy-turvy. We will always have to justify. We always have to explain. We always have to. But when you put God first, things will just flow naturally. Okay, for those who have walked with God, you realize that the Bible says that he that believeth on God will not make haste. Romans chapter 10. That means when you trust the Lord to do what He wants every step of the way, you'll not be in haste. You won't be hasty. You won't be anxious. There was one guy, I can't remember, that was a preacher of the 16th century. One day his wife was, why are you walking up and down? Okay. And why are you walking up and down? And you know, you give me a headache, you know, just by walking up and down. And so the preacher said, the problem with me is I'm in a hurry, but God is not in a hurry. I'm in a hurry, I'm impatient, but God is not in a hurry. In this area of fornication, VGR, it's always correlated, by the way. The principle is that seek to serve God first and aim to glorify Him. Because God knows what you need. God knows what you need. You don't have to rush God. God knows exactly the timing. No, actually, Johnny, you know, nowadays the statistics show that after you pass a certain age, you are not marriageable anymore. So I need to choke first. You don't have to choke first. God knows when and what and how to actually provide you the one that you need, alright? So be actively serving the Lord, aiming to glorify Him first. Next one, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust the Lord to know when to provide your need. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, I think we all know the verse. Okay, if you know, let's recite it. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Question, we can recite that. Do we believe that? We trust that. God says, trust me with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Don't incline your whole thinking to your own understanding, reasoning, rationale, the world may give, all kinds of reasoning and rationale to you. Don't lean to that. In all your ways, say, God, you know, the world is thinking like that, I'm thinking like that, but Lord, what do you think? Okay, acknowledging God, I want your best. And God says, I will direct your path. Learn to trust the Lord on that. Okay? There's no need to choke right here. Trust the Lord to know when to provide your need. Any questions? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points already. The next one, in Ecclesiastes 9:10, be the best you can be now. Be the best you can be now. I think we all know that verse, right? What does the verse say? Whatever thy hand findeth, do it all thy might. If God calls you to study, study your hardest. If God asks you to work, work your hardest, be the best worker. You know why? Because as you study hard, you learn skills, you grow yourself. And now at this point, this shows your love for the one the Lord will have for you. This actually shows the love you have for the one that God will have for you. Firstly, you learn to love God, and you do your best, and you build up your skills. And when you do your best in serving God and do all those things which is your duty, you actually grow, and so you will be a better person for the person that God is going to bring into your life. Does that make sense? And it's very important. Don't focus on what will we benefit if you just sit down there and think, I just want the she. Don't disturb me, I don't want to learn to cook. I don't want to go and work. And you start rejecting all your duties. You're not growing. And so even when you get the she don't want you. Because you don't know how to do, you can't get a job, you cannot stay down. You cannot get down a job, we are unfaithful and all that. Does that make sense? Do the best you can do now. And parents, that's where we train our children in every area, just do your best. Because you're then helping them also to be a better person for the spouse. Okay? Better person for the spouse. Just to add to this, there's nothing wrong with praying this, Lord, I'm growing and I know the person you're going to bring into my life is also growing at the same time. Help the other person. If your lady help the man to be spiritual, to love you, to serve you, nothing wrong in praying that, but keep your hearts from God. Okay? Alright? But at the same time, do the best you can to grow. For every married couple here, we all understand this. We get into a lot of trouble because we keep our old habits from our single life. Would you agree with that? How we deal with things, how we talk, how we problem solve, and we don't seem to want to find new ways of growing. And sometimes we forget. Actually, God is with us to help us through that. Okay? So be the best you can be. And that's why premarital counseling is very, very vital, so that you can actually, in the premarital counseling, the goal is actually to look at the blind spots that we don't look at and then deal with that before you get in. Okay? Next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Avoid all materials that have pornographic materials, visuals, audio, friends. Okay? And that's where we need to train our children. That's for Esther Joy and children from young. When bad music comes on, when those things come on, we'll switch off, we'll look away, we will say, and we'll teach them to say bad. And then they will straight away turn away. It's actually almost like a reflex. The moment sin comes, bad, move away. Even at that point in time, some people say, no lah, you know, some we need to be very careful. If a child says bad, can I say this? To help each other, okay, in the church, when a child in our Sunday school actually says, my papa says it's bad, don't add anything else, let the dad or mom deal with that. Does that make sense? Alright, so that we give that family opportunity to just deal with that themselves. Don't add things that will confuse the child. You may want to speak to the parent, and let them handle it, because otherwise it becomes very inconsistent and blurry for the child. It's just a practical way that as a church we help one another. Any thoughts on that? There's nothing wrong with asking the child question, but you know, question tends to confuse children if they're not too sure. I say, my baba says so, law. I just follow law. I say, but actually, then you say, yeah. Then, once you do that, you have gone against what the dad is teaching. And we don't want our church, the church is actually to support what the parents does. But of course, if I'm biblical, then we hold in our mind, we pray, and say, Lord, is it something that I have to work with the parents about? So don't give, let us as a church not give confusing messages to our children. Any thoughts on that? Any questions? Any thoughts? Any thoughts on that? It's actually to actually have a mutual understanding and respect for each family. I think all of us do have what we believe to be. Of course, some of us, I don't think you should be doing that. But in like parent support or something, when we actually bring up things, that's a proper place to actually tell the person or share the person. Or if you're really burdened, pray about it. And then after that, contact the dad or the mom and say, hey, I saw this. Is this something you just ask? And maybe, because of the, no wonder you're doing that. So we leave it. And that's so there's a mutual respect and also helping the children not to be confused. What the child may be doing may be absolutely wrong. Okay? But we don't know what's happened before. So it's best to actually communicate. Okay? In this situation. Any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on that? Anyone? Or any experience you had? If not, let's move on. Okay, so avoid all materials that have pornographic materials in it, visuals, audio, friends, movies, film shows that encourages. And by the way, children learn very fast. I think Joanna, when she was 3, she saw this. No, even Esther Joy up to today, the moment she sees something that has that kind of questionable thing, she can't sleep at night. Some children don't actually tell you anymore. You know why? They are so used to seeing those things already. We need to keep our children's hearts sensitive to sin. I say that again. We need to keep our children's hearts sensitive to sin. That when they see it, they will run away as far as it. It is the only protection they have, I can tell you. Because if they are so sensitized or desensitized to sin, they won't run away. In fact, they will enjoy it. Okay? So, make sure there's nothing in your house. The moment there is, destroy it. That's what we do. Like the CD, we took a hammer and just whack it. Just make sure we break it. And if not good for our family, it's not good for anyone else. Okay? So, avoid all materials that have that kind of material in it. Same for all appearance of evil. Another, one of the ways to deal with this, and I'll just put this in, this is very important, regular fasting. If you find that you're a person who gives that kind of thoughts and all that, fasting starves the flesh and say, Lord, I want to be yours. It strengthens your spiritual resolve to deal with sin. Fasting is not very popular now, but you know, in my own life, I've seen that happen. I think in the life of the church, we've seen God actually using that as well. And some of you have actually practiced that and see how God works. Regular fasting, one of the principles is to starve the flesh so that sin won't come out, so that God will actually give us an additional strength. Actually, you know, we have spiritual weapons, right? Prayer, Bible study, the third one is fasting. When you fast, you need to pray as well. Regular fasting starves the flesh, okay? And Brother Johnny, I don't see that. You need to practice that too. I'm telling you, God gave us that. If you are someone given to that kind of thing, you may want to ask God, are you asking me to fast? Okay, the passage is in Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast? Let's turn there, okay? I'll show you some Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is a passage that God used on fasting. Look at verse number 6. Okay, if you want to read, you can read from 1 to 5. God says, you fast but for all the wrong reasons. Okay, but from verse 6 onwards, God actually says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free? That he break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house when thou seest the naked? That thou cover him? That thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. In verse 6 and 7, God actually deals with the sins of Israel. And God expected that the sins of Israel to be dealt with as they fast. Because when they fast prior to that, they were always doing their own thing. They were still oppressing the poor. Say, God, no. God says, Israel, when you fast, the reason of your fasting is to get rid of the sin in your life. That you will start thinking of the poor. That you stop oppressing those people anymore. That you will, verse 7, you start taking care of the people who need bread. And you will actually take care of those people. Because right now they were all just casting these people out. They were oppressing them. They were using them for money. So fasting actually has the power, according to God, as we fast in the right manner before the Lord, to break the bonds of sin. And if you are tied to a particular sin, it's not only for fornication, any area, fasting is a spiritual weapon that the New Testament church in Singapore now don't use at all. You know why I keep on pushing? Because if you learn fasting, if you learn to fast and pray before the Lord, God will give you, interesting, Daniel didn't have insight into the prophecy. But when he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks, God sent the answer and enlightened him. And he, do you realize the time of from the time of Daniel all the way to the second coming of Christ in the millennium period? And do you realize the reason why Daniel actually got that revelation? He fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. Partial fast, water and bread. Because he says, Lord, I don't understand what you're talking about. God says, okay. And as he fast and gave himself to understand God's word, God showed him the plan from his time all the way to the second coming of Christ. Alright? And so, fasting is very, very important. Any question? Any questions? Okay, another point very quickly. How to guard our heart? Be accountable to someone. Young people, be willing to let your parents know everything you do. The moment you hide from your parents certain things, it means that there's something wrong. Agree? Any comments on that? I'll just be very blatant. If you are hiding something from your parents who loves you so much and would gladly die for you, there is something wrong in that relationship. God wants us to learn to be accountable. And that's so important. Well, you need to ask yourself, why am I hiding? Am I hiding because I'm ashamed of what I'm doing? Or am I hiding because, shy, I don't want to tell mommy, daddy, where they laugh at me? So there are different reasons. But it has to be very clear. You need to be accountable to someone. Timothy was accountable to Paul. Okay, Paul and Barnabas, of course, they had a relationship in terms of service to the Lord. There's always that need to be accountable to someone. You know, in this day and age, we need to be accountable. Many young people don't like people to tell them what to do. I want us to learn, based on God's word, it's okay to let someone tell you what to do. You know why? Someone may have better insight. Okay? We need to learn to be accountable. Youth, be accountable to your parents. Be willing to be open. Be willing to say, can I see your email? Can I see your handphone? I said, Papa, nah, take your handphone, everything. And you will have no secret passwords to block certain people. You know why people have secret passwords to block certain people or block? You know why? I don't want people to know what I'm thinking. You know why? Why hide? There's something wrong. So in this area of fornication, especially, can I say it's a satanic strategy? Don't tell this person. Because if you tell this person, you mess up my plan. Satan would. Of course, Satan won't say you mess up my plan. But you know, I've learned this. And I dare say, it's a satanic strategy. When someone learns to hide and then tell stories or deceive others so that they don't find the real reason. It's a satanic strategy. You know why? Satan aiming to destroy that person. Can I say this as your pastor who cares for your soul, that at the day of judgment before Christ, where all your secrets will be revealed, there will be nothing that Jesus will say, why didn't you share with that brother that? Why didn't you share with your mom? Why didn't you just be honest? I had all my angels ready and resources ready to help you. Why didn't you share? It's a satanic strategy. Why did Adam and Eve hide from God? When they sinned. Hiding from the beginning of time is always an evidence that something is wrong. Or there's sin involved. There's sin involved. How do we guard our heart? Be willing to be accountable to someone. Be willing. I'm thankful some of the young people, when I was working with some of the people, maybe for the two couples that we married, they were very open, they were sharing, they were willing to. And you know what? That opens up communication, it opens up anything. And yeah, we all have problems. Even our family, we have problems. But the key thing is how we are going to overcome that. And Satan is very smart. Don't tell anyone. Hi. So that I can. This is very smart. Okay, be accountable to some young people. Be accountable to someone. If you say, I'm regularly going to those websites, then you better be accountable to someone. All right. And the next one is walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Let's turn there. Memorize this verse if you have to. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Let's read it together, okay? You just have to go a bit faster, because 1, 2. Okay, Galatians 5:16, ready? 1, 2, let's read together. 1, 2, go. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the Bible is very clear, walk in the Spirit, Walk with God. The word walk means have a lifestyle of daily walking, as you will walk on a regular basis. Everything you do, make sure it's in line with what biblical principles are. Make sure it's in line with what God says. Make sure it's in line with what you know is a proper, appropriate behaviors. Walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The moment someone takes a turn and maybe just say, oh, I just want to adjust a little bit. You're walking, you need to be very careful at that point already. You need to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Any questions? We finish this part of how to do to guard the heart. Be safe, be in the Word. Focus on the Lord's will for your life right now. Build healthy, communicative relationships with your family members, dad, mom, even brothers and sisters. Okay? Be actively serving the Lord and aiming to glorify Him first. Trust the Lord to know when to provide your needs. Be the best you can be now. Avoid all materials, pornographic materials, visual, audio, friends, movies, whatever. Okay? That even have that kind of... Don't have this thought, I can handle it. You can't. Satan, when it comes to morality and sin, Satan is more powerful. Agree? Unless we're living a life totally submission to God, we will never be able... You may be able to fight him a few times. You know what? Satan kind of patronizes you for a while. And after that, gives you a death blow. Okay? Satan is always like that. Thereafter, the regular fasting, be accountable to someone, walk in the Spirit. This is how you guard your heart. Any questions? Questions at all? Yes, Brother Tae Hong. Sure. Okay. Sure. I understand.
But how do you, you know, so that we not draw such a line where we become offended?
Sure. Okay.
Especially our
children
after a while will
backfire
in a sense.
Okay.
So how do you,
okay.
You know,
so there's few. Sure. Sure. Okay, so maybe I'll just frame that. Number one, I think, firstly, how do we draw the line? Number two, you look at how do we... I think there are a few levels of your question, and I'll seek to answer that. But anyone have any other thoughts on that first? It's a good learning lesson. It is important. But as a church, we need to realize that we may have our ways of interacting, but ultimately... we will stand before the Lord. That should always be our thought. Okay? Anyone have anything to add or share from that? I think there's a difference between people sharing with you and what you actually... Yeah, I think we need to be clear on that. Yeah, it's true, it's true. I think we need to also respect the other person's confidence. I mean, if we share with you, then it's, say, Dad, can you please don't read that because I don't think it's right. That kind of thing. I think it's fair for someone else to share with you, but I mean, your own response, perhaps. Maybe I'll just answer this. I've thought through this a long time. Just feel free to feedback and things like that. I think it's all part of learning. Number one, one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll go from the biblical principle first. And on that day, nothing will be covered. Everything will be brought up. Okay? At the judgment seat of Christ, the key thing is every dad will have to account to Jesus Christ of what happens in the family. I think these are clear biblical principles we all know. Okay? In order for the dad to rightly, righteously, and justly fulfill his duties, it would help if the people around be helpful in sharing things that may even be in the area of privacy, that if dad doesn't know, the child can go a certain way. Okay? Right? Now, when that dad, let's say, doesn't know, and the child goes a certain way, dads, we are held accountable. God says, how come you never find out? Isn't that true even in normal investigative situations right now? You should, as dad, you have the authority. Now, don't jump the gun first, there's another area, okay? So, what I'm teaching is, I believe very much that dads, we have, and moms, we have the, parents, we have the authority. And children, we need to learn to respect that. Okay? So that's one area. Any questions there? So within the family, there ought to be, in a sense, no secrets. Personally. So that dad and mom can exercise proper parental teaching, guidance, and sometimes admonishment, discipline, so that the children will all be walking in the right way. Right? Now, coming to the situation that Brother Taylor mentioned, is there a place that children will have privacy? And I think the key thing is, if a child chooses not to share a particular area, as parents, really, we cannot force our children. We can't. You can hang them on a taugay tree, you can do everything to them, you tie their hair up like Samson. They're going to tell you, once it's hard. But then, it presents it as a problem of two areas. One, why is the child unwilling to share an intimate area with the parents? Is it because of fear? Is it because she or he felt that mom and dad will misunderstand me? Then it becomes a parenting. We need to be very careful how we respond to our children. Okay, that's one area we need to consider. That means the relationship is not strong enough to handle that kind of private talk. Does that make sense? Okay. But then on the other hand, if the relationship is very open and still the children want to keep then the intention of keeping that is called into question. Why do we need to hide? I mean, if it's a good thing, there's nothing we can, there's no owner that says, I'm hiding because I've got a special birthday party for mom and dad. That kind of thing is fine. But when the intention is not, is it going to be shameful? Is it going to be, I don't want everyone to know what I, why? What? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, because on the one hand, the relationship must be strong to handle these kind of things. But on the other hand, when a child chooses not to share, then we need to ask why. Because what is it that you don't trust your mom and dad about? Or sometimes probably it's not about trust. Then why can't you share? Yes. Sure. Yeah. There's no fear in love. Sure. Sure. Ready? I think the focus is correct. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we're actually talking about. I think all of us should develop that relationship in the family that children are very clear. Mom and dad love me. Okay, mom and dad love me. So I don't think that's an issue. I think all of us wants to do that. How we do that is another thing. All right. Okay. So different families may have different approaches. But I think what I'm talking about the children, the part that within themselves. Are they involved in things that biblically is inconsistent or even appropriately they would think that, oh, okay, if I share this, will I be put on the spot or whatever? Okay, I understand. These are quite intricate lessons. But the key thing that I want to actually highlight this is not dispelling what Sir Abel said. Building a strong relationship is very important. This one, okay? All families of ambassador, or even any family, should have that whereby when mom and dad speaks to children, children knows there's actually loving communication, there is listening, there is actually trying to understand. That goes without saying. Okay, that goes without saying. Okay? What I'm saying is that when a child chooses to hide certain things, we actually just have to ask why in our own mind. Because it becomes a question of trust. As much as the relationship is built with love, why is it that children are still unwilling to share certain things? And that's between, that's something that they will have to search their own hearts about. Okay? I think we are all responsible, okay? As parents, we are responsible to build a relationship with our children and with loving servanthood, loving leadership at home. That children, even though they do wrong, are given what my friend always say, give them discount. I do something, always must give them discount because they will do wrong. I mean, that's fine. But as they grow up, there's a sense of responsibility that they actually have to grow with that. But what I'm saying is actually the intention of actually not wanting to share certain things. Okay, some people may want to share, say, unless, I mean, it could be as easy as saying, look, Dad, I don't think I want to share with you now, but I will share with you in the correct time. But it actually becomes I don't know about you, but maybe this is personal. I think it's out of line with what you call a biblical lesson. But I think in the human relationships, trust is so important. I think we all. But when a person chooses not to share a certain area, I don't know about you, but it's an issue of trust. There's no complete transparency. Of course, humans need to grow in that. Learning to trust. But you know what? The learning to trust is a situation with the heart. Whereby I'm not comfortable with certain things that I need to tell someone else. And so as parent, for me, I would think, Lord, how do I help my daughter, my son, to understand whatever they share with me will not be ridiculed? Is it something I've said in the past? Is it something I've done in the past that may have caused them? And if that's the case, then Lord, I have to repent and then come and say, look, I'm sorry. But you know, and usually teenagers is a social area. The social life is a big thing. Parents, would you agree what they do in their social life and activities is absolutely important? As parents, we need to know. Because when they go down a wrong track, I'm sure as parents, we don't want to be the second or third or fourth person to know. Because one day God is going to hold us accountable. Respect for children, absolutely. And I think as parents, sometimes we need to, you see, when there's loving obedience, then there's no issue. There's no issue. But when a child chooses to go off, say, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to share with me. No, I'm not going to tell you. When there's that, then of course that in the family there's some problems going on already. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I think the respect is not a problem. And even asking permission, I think we need to respect our children. But you know, children, on the other hand, when and mom and dad ask permission, I think there is that honoring of parents. I mean, if you cannot trust parents, who can you trust? That's my concept, yeah. Yeah, we can take it off. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Totally agree. Totally agree.
And it is a journey that we must learn
to embark. Totally agree.
Understanding that partnership for the growth of both.
Sure,
sure. I think trust goes both ways. Sure. The parent needs to trust the children, the children need to trust.
Yep. Sure. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And the underlying also is also learn to trust God, learn to commit to God, pray for one another, and then and watch just.
Yeah. So, I just throw, okay, in terms of the readiness issue, I think one of the things I've learned, I've heard this many times, I think, just want to share with us, when is the best time to obey God? When is the best time to obey God? Sorry? Oh, yeah, starting from, yeah, I mean, when, do we delay that, or do we do it now? Obedience to the Lord. Okay, sure, sure. Okay, I'm not looking at the practical. I'm not looking at the practical. I'm looking at the biblical. When did the scriptures teach us to obey God? When? Now. Okay? Now. Now. Okay? I want to draw, because it's very important, because once we have to start from first principle, because if we don't, we will always not know where we need to head on. We will always swim in the area of this area of practicality. Okay? Now, I want us to be clear. I'm not saying, therefore, you don't understand people. I understand one day we all stand before God. And God says, now is the accepted time. When you hear my word, you know, the children of Israel, drawing inferences from the scriptures, God says, I've already given you the land. Go in. 10 of them said no. 2 said yes. God says, all right, if that is your decision at this time, then you guys got to wait 40 years before you go in. Okay? When we understand God's mind frame on obedience, would we want to walk in this area of God? If you say that, then with fear and trembling in my heart, I'll follow you. Or do we want to look at this practical area? Now, before you jump to concrete or personal practical, I also understand. And in my interaction with many of you, for me, in my own life, I practice, if God says so, I'll do it now. I won't even ask a question, am I ready? Because when looking at what happened to Israel, I would lose a lot of the blessings. Because Jesus taught us in John 7:17, if you will do His will, then you will know of the doctrine. Okay? I want to start there first, because I don't want us to forget God has a way of working. When we choose to operate here, when God says to do this, I will say this with full confidence in my heart in the Scriptures, it becomes disobedience. Because if we would be faithful to the Holy Scriptures, according to as Bible believers, if God says to love, we love Him regardless of whether we think or not. If God says to give, we give Him regardless of whether we have or not. If God says to be faithful to His church, we be faithful regardless of whether we feel like it or not. Which we will agree on that as a beginning premise. Okay? Then in the New Testament church, the Apostle Paul then teach us, be patient with all men. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Walk with one another. Does that make sense? That's where we, Lord, this is your will. God, forgive us. Lord, help us to walk in line with what you want us to do. Because I find that we swim a lot in this area. We forget that God says obedience is immediate. Would you agree? Obedience biblically need to be immediate, because there's overwhelming evidence in Scripture when it is not even... There's a few levels. Yeah, some people can feel it's contextual. But when God says, I want you to forsake this sin, say, God, well, you know, not ready. Is that disobedience? We're not swaying, Sister Elizabeth. Okay, because right now, because readiness, okay? I think the key to readiness or sharing. I think, you see, one of the things, the key thing I'm driving at is this. I think on the one hand, because people, one of the things that a person may not be ready to share, that's fine. And I agree totally with the process. And I hope you understand through the ministry that God has given to us and myself, with many of us here in my interactions with you, I don't push. Because I understand that waiting process. That God has to deal with you. But I also understand, in terms of obedience to God, needs to be immediate. So that's a biblical principle. Okay? Now, coming back to this area of parent sharing with the child. When the child is not ready, the question the parent needs to ask is a few questions. Why? Is there a relationship established, which we talked about just now? And it has to be important. There must be a loving relationship. Okay? Communication must be open. All right. Now, is a child fearful of sharing with the parents? Exactly, yeah. Then we need to ask why. Okay, so that's why I'm saying, if the relationship has already been loving and open, why is the child still fearful of sharing? And in that situation, in terms of being open to the parent to share, hey, I'm fearful to share with you because I find that you are always not listening. Because when a person chooses, hang on, let me just start. When a person chooses to withdraw, oftentimes it is a way of, I'll just say this plainly, God needs to help us to grow in this. Because the Bible teaches Ephesians 4 to speak the truth in love. Yeah, correct. So maybe we can put this aside first. We can discuss it separately. Yes, sir, Shaolin. But I'll share with you. Maybe I just share what happens if my child, I mean, how my family do, if my child is honest with what they've done wrong. Even initially, I say, I'll spank them. But they are open and say, Papa, I've done this wrong. I would say, thank you for being honest. I will not spank you at all. To show them that I respect their truthfulness and I would rather work with them when they are truthful. I won't even spank them. Okay? But if I told them 20 times and still do it, then of course. But if they're willing to be honest, I'll still have to meet up, but I'll significantly reduce the punishment. Because I want our children to learn. I respect your honesty and I love that, and that is what God wants you to do. And then and one thing I've learned is when they say they've done wrong, they will break down and cry. That's not the time to. Then that's where I'll say, you're being honest before God. As God, the Bible says, confess thy. In Proverbs, I can't remember the verse now specifically. He that confesses his sin and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Okay, when you confess and you aim not to do it again, you don't need this. But if you don't, then you need that. Yeah. Okay, I think this is good. I enjoy this because it shows that we are thinking, all right? And I do want as pastor to help us realize that we must always go from scriptures first. Lord, this is what you say. And then after that, I also understand there's always a process for everyone. Everyone is different. That's why In my ministry, I believe in process. I believe that people take time to grow. But you know, when we give the people time to grow, it's important to also understand the person must want to grow. If you repeat things again and 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 again, God says no. I was just reading in Ezekiel today that for number one, for number two. And God did the same thing again and again a few times. God said, that's enough. Okay? But in the growth of, in the New Testament church growth, we're always of grace. And therefore, when a person chooses to do a certain thing a certain way, sometimes, you know, if you know me last time, I come down very fast. But I realized, hey, the people need time to grow. And that's where grace comes in. Okay? Can I say this? Grace is not a license for us to continue in our position. Grace is an opportunity for us to say, God, I know I'm wrong, and people are giving me grace. Lord, I need to change in your will. When we choose not to do that, that's not acceptable. Does that make sense? Grace is an opportunity for us to get back, just like the prodigal son. He repented. There was no problems after that, except with the elder brother. Okay, so hopefully we understand where people are coming from, but at the same time, maybe I summarize this. We're talking about children sharing. Children, I honestly feel you need to be totally transparent with your parents. At least they need that kind of input to be able to guide and lead you well. There are many things that parents can teach us. Agree, parents? If we can just, as parents, I don't think we just want to throw things at our children and expect them to follow. We want them to be able to think through those principles so that they can grow. And you know, those who are teens and all that, they're thinking through also. I can tell you, the way they think through and the way a 20-year-old brain thinks through and the way a 50-year-old brain thinks through is totally different. The 50-year-old brain has a lot of experiences, hard knocks that, hey, I've been there, done that, wrong move. And I'll explain to you why. Oh, and then that brain can begin to say, okay, I think I need to follow a bit of this. Yes, okay? So, yep. Sure, yes. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, of course. Please don't get me wrong, all right? I'm not saying I'm the parent, so you must tell me. I hope you don't practice it at home. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Involved, yeah. What are people like, being involved now? Okay. Okay. I think we really need to. Sure. Okay. Sure. Let me just quickly finish this last one. I appreciate this, but I think we should have in a parent support group, we can actually talk about this. This one, we can talk for hours on this. Okay, but. Yes. Okay, let me just finish this, all right? I believe we basic principle, we need to be accountable to one another, all right? There must be love in a relationship. Let me just finish it. Help for people involved in fornication, okay? I just want to finish this in the next 3 minutes so that at least we can, we don't want to go past the thing. Okay, if a person is involved in this area, okay, I'm not sweeping all the arguments, I'm listening to that, but I just want to finish this part. And then next week, we'll start on the next one, but at the same time, I need to actually read through what I believe as Ambassador Baptist Church. We need to make that statement online, but we'll keep it for next week. If a person is actually involved in this area, okay, if it's still private, we need to keep it private as long as the individual is willing to be open, to be counseled, and willing to work through the problem. Okay? This is done to protect the reputation of the person, and this is done in love. Okay? Personally, I've counseled many people on that. No one knows what's happening behind the scenes because it's a personal thing. Okay, if the individual is a public figure, meaning holding public office in Ambassador Baptist Church or in church, especially in church of holding certain places of authority, and the acts are not known, the individual needs to realize that what he or she has done in private affects the ministry, because there's sin in the camp, and sin cannot continue. All right, just like Moses, just sometimes pity Moses. Moses, one strike of the rock, and that's it. He's out of the promised land. And that is actually, all the commentators agree, the reason why God dealt with Moses so harshly, because he's a public figure in the eyes of 2 million people, and God said, I cannot condone that. Otherwise, the thing will, that disobedience will be replicated, his frustration will be replicated. Okay? So, and therefore, we need to be concerned that when we're serving the Lord right in the ministry, example is Achan's sin. But if it is known, the individual needs to be strongly counseled and dealt with, and there must be a spirit of repentance within the individual. And also the church needs to be firm on this, but loving to restore the individual back to where they should be in the Lord. Okay? They may need to step down if necessary, or to recollect their lives, but they can still serve in the capacity that the ministry is not compromised. I made it very clear, because there are many churches now, it's okay. It's not okay when there's sin in God's church. It's not okay. Because our God is a holy, set apart God, and He will not tolerate that. But you know, God just says, deal with them, but in a loving way. Just as God dealt with Miriam when he rebelled against Moses. Miriam only was leprous for 7 days. After he was restored. So which means that there needs to be the repentance dealt with. It's not saying that after the person is there and therefore he's not going to be able to serve anymore. There must be firm hand with regards to that sin, but love with that person. A person must come to a realization, hey, I cannot continue in this. I need to repent and turn back. Okay? So in dealing with the sin specifically, the individual caught in this or confessed this must be brought to a place that he acknowledged that it is sin. According to the biblical definition, he or she is actually playing the harlot. That's a biblical definition of fornication, playing the harlot. Okay? You need to repent. There must be a change of mind. It's wrong. It's sin. I cannot do that anymore. You need to confess that sin to the Lord and to the individual. And this is the next step, which is actually quite hard, I think, but it's important to confess the sin to that family of which you have cheated. Some people may not agree with this, but to make sure things are on the right track, the worst thing is the family finding out, how dare you did that to my daughter? Okay? Confess the sin, stop or drastically limit all situations that will put the two to be physically alone without anyone. Be accountable to parents. And that, the reason why I talk about accountable parents is in this situation. Alright, in the area of fornication. And then do the principles that was mentioned earlier. Okay? So, any questions on that? There are many people who say, never mind, just as long as you confess. I personally don't believe, biblically, God will stand for that. Just cover the whole thing and just make sure you don't do it again. When a person has done something wrong, the person needs to go through that process of counseling, working through that spirit, because it's a spiritual thing. Humanly, we will not want to correct ourselves. That's why people can continue to sin. But a person who cares will have to bring that person through the whole process of helping that person. All right? Any questions? Any questions? Next week, we'll... No, fornication means immorality after our marriage. Sorry? Before marriage? What did I say? Before marriage. Sorry, wrong number. Before marriage. So there are teenagers and whoever that's not married. So it's all unmarried. Yeah, okay? That's important. Remember, by the way, it's not just the individual couple. You're marrying the whole family. Lucky or not. And therefore, there's a responsibility also. I think every dad here would echo with me that I would want whoever go out with my daughter to be a responsible man. Right? That there will be no hanky-panky before. If there is, then I would seriously think this person cannot control himself. And so you better wait a few years and go and deal with your own lies first before. Does that make sense? And so daughters, think through. Just because he's not in shining armor, you must understand whether the armor is made of real gold or completed. So, any questions? It seems to be quite... Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Encourage you. Definitely. I appreciate the sharing. And please, there's nothing personal, right? When we share, it's all in the name of learning. Okay? So hopefully, we want to encourage the culture that we're just sharing so that we can grow personally. And if there's any questions, go to that person, go to me, come to me, email. Okay? Let's have the culture of just understanding this very, very important principle. As pastor, when I stand before a judgment seat of Christ, my goal is every teenager will not fall into that sin. And if I teaching and be as strict as I can, and it's still done, and God have mercy on me. That's my thought. Of course, there's responsibility also on you. Of course, parents, we need to work together too. And I think we all love one another. Okay? Sometimes we may not come across as strongly as that, but I think we all have good intention. We'll deal with that in the message. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for that loving sharing, Lord, as a family of God, to learn, Lord, your will. And I think it's so wonderful and refreshing for the Holy Spirit of God to preside over this. Yeah, things have to be said, things have to be shared, but I pray, Father, that these will be learning times, that, Lord, we will be willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control our minds and our hearts. And that, Father, that love for the brethren, Lord, will be such a strong, strong glue, Father, that nothing will be able to sever that wonderful relationship we have in Christ. So, Lord, I pray that as we have to grapple with the effects of life and sins of this world, I pray you help us to grow spiritually. I pray that every one of us will partake of the grace you have so freely given to us in every learning area of our lives, that we will grow, Lord, we will grow. And that, Father, we will be mature in both our relationship with you, relationship with our families, and mom and dad, dad to mom, and children with the parents. And also, Lord, as church members in the same family of God that you put us together, Lord, that we will grow for your honor and glory. Thank you. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.